Okay, we are up to Perek Vav Mishnah Hey, Chapter 6, Mishnah 5. The first Mishnah we'll be doing today deals with further examples of individuals who a Kohen is not allowed to marry. And the second Mishnah we'll be dealing with will give us a very interesting overview of all the halachos that we need to know regarding Pru Urvu, regarding as it pertains to marriage and also the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself. So says the Mishnah, beginning with Mishnah Hey. Kohen hejud lo yisa islandus. So a regular Kohen is not allowed to marry an islandus. So who is an islandus? We've spoken about this an islandus before. But an islandus, in short, is basically a woman who doesn't show the two hairs that are necessary, and also she doesn't have like other the physical developments of a regular mature woman. If she doesn't have these types of things, and there are other examples as well, other definitions as well, but not for right now. But just so you know, it says the Mishnah, an ordinary Kohen cannot marry an islandus. Interestingly, a regular person can also not marry an islandus, but we'll see in a second why it is that the Mishnah decided to use the case of a Kohen in particular, because we're going to specifically then limit the give an example that really does only apply to Kohanim. So again, Kohen hejud lo yisa islandus, an ordinary Kohen cannot marry an islandus. Ella imkain yeshlo isha uvanim, unless he has another wife who he would be able to have children with, or he has children already, meaning he's basically fulfilled this obligation of pruvu. If he's done that, then he is good to go. He's allowed to marry her. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yehuda says afal pi yeshlo isha uvanim, even if the Kohen has another wife or children, lo yisa islandus, he is still not allowed to marry an islandus. Why? Because nothing to do with the fact that she's an islandus per se. Rather, that her definition, as far as the Torah is concerned, is what's relevant, and that's why he's not allowed to marry her. Meaning that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a zona. Now, my Rebbe Rav Willig always used to like to say that there is an important understanding to realize when you get to the word zona, and that is there's the colloquial term of Zaina, which means like a bad person or like an inappropriate person, right? And then there's a zona, which is the halachic definition. So one should not think for a second that when we use the word zona, we mean that negatively about the women who it applies to. As we'll see, we'll further define that word in just a moment. But rather that it's just a halachic definition, and a zaina, that's the colloquial negative term of which we are not talking about per se over here. So again, the first opinion says over here that a regular Kohen cannot marry an islandus if he doesn't have children, or if he doesn't have a wife who can have children. But Rabbi Yehuda says afal pi sheishlo isha uvanim, even if he does have another wife or if he has children, lo yisa islandus, he still cannot marry an islandus. Why? Shehi zona ha'amura b'Torah, because she is the halachic definition of a zona that the Torah mentions. The Torah says that a Kohen cannot marry a zona, and in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the term zona includes the woman who is not able to have children. So therefore, a Kohen is not allowed to marry her, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whereas the Tanakhama would say, no, that's not what a zona is, and that's what the Mishnah continues with. The Chachamim say, no, ein zona ella gioris m'shechwaris v'sheniv ala be'ilas znus. Who is a zona according to the Chachamim? Well, a zona is a woman who has converted. And again, God forbid we should ever call a gioris sadekes a zona, but this is the halachic definition. She is technically a zona, meaning she cannot marry a Kohen, but God forbid to say that she is a zaina, right? So again, so in zona ela gioris m'shechreres v'shenev ala bilasna. So a zona is only in the following categories: if you have a female convert, a Canaanite slave woman who was freed, or a woman who has engaged in some sort of illicit marital relations with someone who she should not be having marital relations with, meaning someone who she is prohibited to. So if she has relations with someone who she is prohibited to under a biblical law, like an erva or a mamzer or whatever, and she's not a mamzeris, then if she has relations with one of these people, then she's going to be considered a zona. Happens to be that we do, I believe, extend the definition as well to a woman who, let's say, had many, many relations with many, many different people. However, that's not the topic right now. Maybe we'll speak about that in a halachic shir one time. But that's as far as the mission is concerned. It's those three women: a gioris, a Canaanite slave that was freed, and a woman who had marital relations with someone, or who had relations with someone who was usa for her to have relations with. That is Mishnah Hey. And Mishnah Vav then continues: Lo gibatel adam mipiriyav urivya ela imkini shlo banim. So speaking of pru urvu and idlenesses, etc. So says the Mishnah that a person is not allowed to stop trying to fulfill the commandment of fulfilling pru or vu, of being fruitful and multiplying, unless he already has children. So a man who hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah, therefore has to marry a woman who is able to have children, to his knowledge. Then says the Mishnah, so how does one fulfill the mitzvah of pru or vu? So Beis Shammai, remember, Beis Shammai says, Shnei Zacharim, he has to have at least two males. If he has two male children, then he is Yotzi. Beis Hillel, remember, Beis Hillel say, Zachar and Akiva, that he has to have a boy and a girl. He has to have both. How do you know that? Says Beis Hillel. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Zachar and Akiva bara'am, that Hashem created them male and female. So Beis Hillel assume that when man has the mitzvah to procreate, it's corresponding to God's original act of populating the world, and therefore just as Hashem created one male and one female, a.k.a. Adam and Chava, to live in this world, so too a man has to father one male and one female in order to fulfill this mitzvah of populating the world. That is the machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Mishnah further, let's say, now, Nasa Isha, if a man marries a woman, Vishaha Ima Eser Shanim, and he remained with her for 10 years, below Yalda, she doesn't have any children, Eino Rashai Libatel, he's not allowed to refrain from fulfilling the mitzvah, so he has a choice. He can either divorce her, or he can marry someone else in addition to her. Now, the interesting situation is, what do we do about a person nowadays who we know that because of Takanas Rabbeinu Gershom, one cannot have more than one wife. So what does he do? Is he required to divorce her? That is a fascinating halachic discussion, but it seems like at the end of the day, we do not force a person to get divorced, to my knowledge. And you see the precedence for this. We know great rabbis who couldn't have children, and even they stayed with their wife for the entirety of the marriage, and they lived very happy, healthy, fulfilling lives with one another. So this halacha is not so clear cut, but that is what the Mishnah says. Gersha, says the Mishnah, when he divorces her, muteris lina se lacher, she is allowed to marry another man. You'd say maybe since we would assume that maybe the infertility is from her, so maybe she can't marry someone else, so therefore maybe she shouldn't marry someone. So first of all, that's incorrect. People assume that just a matter of science. It's not correct. It's not that all infertility comes from women. It can come from a man as well. So one should never think that. But to sort of further that cause, the Mishnah says that when he does divorce her, assuming they get divorced, then muteris lina se lacher, she is allowed to marry another man. Even under the assumption, maybe because you'd say maybe she can have children. Because we assume that maybe it just was with that man that she couldn't have children. Verashai hasheni leshos ima eser shanim, and that second man too is allowed to be with this woman for an additional 20 years. So it could be that she is married to two men over the course of 20 years. And even though by year 17 you would say maybe we should realize that it's this woman that the infertility issue is from the woman, and therefore maybe we should say let him separate with her because he needs to fulfill pru or vu. Nonetheless, no, we do allow the second man to stay married with her the full 10 years, because we give both of the men 10 years with her equally. Okay, now says the Mishnah, Vimhi Pila, let's say she became pregnant, but then she had a miscarriage. Monemi Shashe Pila. So says the Mishnah, so you count the 10 years. You still have to count the 10 years, but you count the 10 years from the time that she miscarried. So if in year 3 of their marriage, she has a miscarriage, and then and they still don't have any children, unfortunately, then they count 10 years from that, and if they don't have any children, that's when the halakha of the Mishnah would kick in. Finally, the Mishnah concludes, who is obligated in the mitzvah of pru or vu? Ha'ish mitzuveh al piri yaveriviya. A man, says the Tanakhama, is commanded to do pru or vu. Avalo ha'isha, but a woman is not commanded to do pru or vu. Now, there are many explanations given to this, and one of them in particular is that women are clearly usually born with more of a drive, a maternal instinct than men are. So men are commanded to make sure that they have them, because maybe a man can live a life without necessarily without the push to do it. Whereas a woman, it's much more unlikely that she wouldn't have that inherent push, and therefore there was a need to obligate the men but not the women. That's what the Tanakhama says. However, unfortunately, though, people don't usually quote this second opinion, who I don't believe we paskin like, but it's still relevant to know. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, Al shneim hu omer, regarding both men and women, the Torah says, Vayivarecho sam elokim, vayumer lehem elokim pru urvu, Hashem blessed them, and he says to them, them to be fruitful and multiply, meaning Hashem was addressing both Adam and Chava. And therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Rocha, that it's clear that both men and women are obligated in this mitzvah. That's not, again, what we paskin, but it is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Rocha that people should be aware of. That brings us to the end of Perek Vav, of the entirety of chapter 6. God willing, next time we'll continue with Perek Zion, chapter 7. But for now, we will stop right here.